We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There's so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we've carved out a space just for you, the creative entrepreneur making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is much that we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome to Proof to Product. Today's episode is such a treat. My friend Kelly Higdon of Calibrate Your Year joins me, and she is a former psychotherapist turned business coach who helps entrepreneurs grow their business without the soul suck. She believes that a successful business is one that contributes to a happier life. And when she isn't working, she's traveling with her family, dabbling in art, and listening to live music. On today's episode, we talk about burnout, knowing you're enough within your business, and Kelly walks us through how she blocks off over 200 days a year for rest and family time. Hey, Kelly, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thanks for having me.
So a little bit of background here for our listeners. Kelly and I are in a mastermind group together, and we meet online regularly as well as a couple of times a year in person. And I have always been so impressed and inspired by the way Kelly keeps things simple in her business, how she intentionally plans for her family time and her work time. You guys, she's just an amazing person and such a strong businesswoman. I've learned so much from her, and I'm excited for all of you to learn from her today. So Kelly, thank you again for coming.
Thanks for having me and saying such nice things.
Oh, she didn't even pay me, guys. I said it all on my own. But okay, Kelly, what is a misconception that people have around building rest into their daily lives as well as their business?
I think sometimes they feel that there is a phase when they are in business where there is no time for rest, and they feel like that will come later. They'll get to it eventually. You'll hear that whole hustle and grind theory.
Yeah.
Especially in the first, I'd say at least first 5 years or so of businesses, a lot of people put it off. They're like, it's not the time for that. Or when they do rest, they do it in big chunks, like they go on a big vacation and their pacing is a little bit more sporadic and it doesn't give their body a lot of time to catch up when they're doing that. They go really hard on the work and then hard on the rest. You'll also see that as well. So it's one of those things that I think is often put off or thought to be something that you'll get to when you're at a certain profit level.
I agree with you. I think I did the same thing, and you know, where it's like, no, hustle, 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 grind, grind, grind. I mean, I did trade shows when I was like super pregnant a couple of times because I felt like I couldn't not be there. Right. I exhibited at a trade show, you know, 5 days after I miscarried because I felt like I had to be there, which is so ridiculous. In hindsight, you know, I should have taken time for myself to rest and heal and do, you know, take care of my body and my family. And so, yeah, I'm definitely guilty of some of the things you just mentioned.
I mean, I did those things. I mean, that's why I talk about it now. Because same thing with you after miscarriages, after health stuff and coming up. I'm really good at working. I can work hard and consistently for a long, long time, but it comes at a really big cost for me. So I'm, you know, really aware of what can happen physically, but also emotionally and mentally when you live like that.
I know you battled with health issues tied to stress. Would you be willing to share that story and how it shaped the work you do now?
Yeah. I mean, I have an autoimmune condition that can get triggered by stress, as all autoimmune stuff does. And then in addition to that, you know, I've just had some other recent developments. I have like a liver tumor, things like that, that I have to kind of stay on top of and all these things. I think the biggest thing though is the autoimmune condition. I can get really fatigued very easily now. Well, more so in the past when I was not taking care of it, of course. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, the story that's on my website that I've told on other podcasts is just how the ultimate, like, I am one of those people, I guess, that has to be smacked in the face with things, but the ultimate smack in the face was at the time I was running my coaching business. I have a business partner in a coaching business, and then I have my own. And then I had a private practice because I was a psychotherapist.
Right.
And I was sitting in session and I could feel my face drooping, and then I could feel like my hand going numb. I had had migraines the whole day. We were about to launch our, we had this new course that we were launching in our coaching practice. And I just pushed and pushed through the migraine, through everything, to the point the migraine got so bad, it kind of paralyzed me.
Wow.
And I'm in session. I got like 15 minutes left to the session. And it was an intense session. And I kind of logically knew, I'm like, this is not a stroke. I think this is really the migraine. Uh-huh. So I finished the session and I let them let themselves out of the session. And oh then God. I called my husband. I'm like, I need to go to the ER. And I was pregnant. I was, I don't know, 6 months pregnant. I mean, big enough that I remember being showing and all of that. So going to the ER, getting treated for this migraine that paralyzed me, and I'm pregnant. And I'm like, this is not going to be sustainable.
No.
My daughter is in third grade now.
And healthy so and happy, we should add.
Yes. And it's been a journey of I mean, that's how long I've been working on this. This is not – and this is never going to be something that is just done for me. Like, you know, some people will say like, oh, you form this new habit and voila, you're taken care of. But the reality is, and this is what I teach a lot, is it's a constant recalibration.
Yes.
Because life presents things. Your health will present things, your relationships will present things, and then you have to decide based on my values, based on who I am, what needs to shift in the business in order to sustain a good life in the midst of great circumstances and terrible circumstances.
Mm-hmm. So what at that point, when you went to the ER and you were pregnant with Claire, like what did you decide to let go of at that point?
Yeah. So this would be when I don't feel well, just not working and calling out basically on myself and saying, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Condensing the work into certain hours. That has been over years that I've had to do that. So that's kind of taken time, but basically not working in the night, not working in the early morning, anytime, fitting it in wherever I had a break. It is a like a love affair in the beginning when you're in the early stages of your business. It's like this, you know, magnetic, sexy thing that you always want to be involved with.
It's so exciting. Yes. I understand.
And then there's that maturation that you experience in a relationship as well. So I wanted to kind of condense that excitement into kind of getting more excited about my life than just this business, because it was taking away from everything else. So,
Well, I had a similar situation at the end of 2016. I've talked about this on the podcast, so we'll link it for anyone that hasn't heard it yet. You know, I got to the end of 2016, and that was the year that we had Lauren, our fourth baby. Mm-hmm. I delivered Lauren, our fourth baby. I taught 4 classes for Creative Live. I was still manufacturing my products. I was teaching and like speaking at conferences all over the place, running through airports with my breast pump. Like it was insane. And I got to the end of the year and to your point, I got smacked in the face with like, this is not sustainable. I am not healthy. This is not good for my family. This is, I can't keep doing this. And so, yeah, I agree with you that I feel the same, that it's a constantly ever evolving, ever shifting thing that I have to touch base with myself on of like, how am I feeling energy wise and time wise? And are there things I could simplify?
That's why I like our mastermind. I'll just add this in here, because a lot of it is holding each other accountable to, is this necessary? Is this essential to generating income and serving others in our businesses? And if not, why am I doing it? It's usually based upon some assumption that I have to do these things or I will become irrelevant. I think we have a lot of people who teach on this, like always being relevant and being seen. And we have this fear of not. And so it drives this unnecessary list of tasks and events. And so I think one of the beautiful parts that we've all done together is really eliminating and whatever is left, making it the richest, most potent part of our business. Yes. And the rest falls away. So I think that's the other aspect, that condensing, but also whatever is condensed into that time is quality and mm-hmm. essential, and everything else, I don't need it.
Yeah. You have a term for this. You call it minimalism or minimalist business, which I loved hearing you talk about. But how have you kept your business minimalist?
Yeah. So I sold one that came to the point where I was commuting to it. It was my psychotherapy practice, and mm-hmm. I was commuting, and I love the work. I really do. I mean, I love being with people in that way. And I feel like who I am in that space is carried over as a coach. And I found that I was just able to touch more lives, of course, through all the coaching I was doing. So I sold one business. One of my businesses has a flagship program. So that's like the main thing we sell. And the rest is all free. Like, you can build a private practice off of free information. And then that allows me in my own personal coaching business to really focus on the stuff that I love. So it's been a lot of saying no. There's lots of different ways to serve. There's lots of different, I'm sure your people know this too, there's lots of different products to create.
Yeah.
It's getting down to the meat of what you want to do. And yeah, just stripping down to that essence of what you want to be known for, what people will think of when they hear your name or your brand.
Yeah. I will say, going back to what you said about our mastermind group, I can count on my fingers the number of times you guys have said to me, is this necessary? Is this important to the business? Are you serving your people in the best possible way with this idea? And I agree with you, the accountability factor, but also just the let's dive deeper into the things that matter most and the things that are providing the biggest impact, I think. And that's what you've done by creating this minimalist business.
But I think it's also talking about, honestly, of like, how does this impact your marriage? How mm-hmm. does this impact you as a parent? I think it's something that often gets separated. And I believe there is more of an integration. It's not just balance. It's not work-life balance. This is about integration of I show up to my business and I show up to my family. We all have different roles. And how does me going to this event impact my family life? Is it you kind of that pro-con list of,
oh yeah.
And I don't think you can build a business with blinders on to who you are and your entire, the rest of your life. You know, if you do that, that is a form of neglect, and those relationships will take a huge hit. That's why you see such increased rates of depression in entrepreneurs. You see divorce, you see all sorts of emotional health issues and physical health issues coming up because of this. I'm not, you know, I have blinders on, I'm going to focus on my business and the rest. So it's always, it's that two part of finding the sweet spot of this is my highest and best. It serves my client. It is the best product I'm producing. And it allows me to have the best life.
Right. It serves a bigger whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yesterday I did an Instagram story poll where I asked people, are they feeling stretched thin? And when I looked last night, there were over 50 people who had responded.
I saw that. And
100% said yes, they were feeling pulled in too many directions.
Right.
I mean, what is that? I don't even have a question around this. I'm more just like, does that surprise you? Does that data surprise you,
I guess? No. Does it surprise you?
Kind of. I mean, I know from the standpoint, I know that all of us are wearing so many hats running these businesses, but I also feel like, and I also feel like the season we're in with, you know, summer ending and school starting up and people heading into fall releases and the holiday sales and all, like, I get that. It's a busy time. But I guess, like, not one said no, I'm good. Like, that surprised me, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, like you said, there's seasons. Yeah. There are seasons where I know I'm going to work more intensely than others. And I also plan, I fit those seasons where my life allows it, not the other way around. I don't say, I'm going to do this and then my life has to accommodate. I look at my life and what I'm wanting, and then I fit the business within that, and I find where I can take on those seasons. So for me to run an intensive coaching program is easier when my daughter is in school.
Right.
That makes more sense to me. Summer, like I will resent it. And so, you know, those kinds of things, I think there are, and like you said, there may be seasons, but there's this other aspect of then are you building an accommodation for those seasons? And then are you balancing it out on the other side so that you can manage through them? Knowing there's got to be an end date, for example, and there's things that you have to then schedule in and be more intentional about in terms of how you manage your own personal life in those seasons so that you prevent the burnout that's going to happen.
Right. It's funny. I have on here, I want to talk to you about how you plan your year, which is what you're alluding to, because the first time I saw your big whiteboard calendar with all of the different days crossed off, it rocked my world. It was so simple and intentional. And so I'd love for you to tell everybody, you kind of alluded to it already, that you plan for your family first before your business. Yeah. But how do you like logistically do that? What, like, walk us through the steps.
Yeah, I logistically get out the school calendar. I do a whole like vision exercise, and I really think about what I want my week to look like. I don't work Fridays, for example. So I just take Fridays off. I go ahead and X that out on the calendar. And then I start thinking about, well, what do we want? Travel is big for our family. So this last year we did 5 weeks in Spain. A couple of those weeks we did work abroad because my husband has a bookkeeping business and we are able to be nomadic if we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So we are having conversations right now about what kind of travel would look like and how much time. And based on that trip, I'm adjusting this year. Okay. So I kind of reflect too on the past year of what I loved and what I want to take and repeat and what I want to shift. So we learned what we wanted to shift on long travel stints. 5 weeks, not moving around the entire time was not good for us. We like to move a little bit more quickly. So things like that. So I block out vacation time. Now, mind you, I don't really know if we're going to buy plane tickets on those exact dates, but I have it blocked out so that way when I do figure out the exact dates, I can move. I have time to move people into. Mm-hmm. I'm not totally stacked. Like I don't have to like work extra long days. I just swap the days out. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. You're creating structure to it, but also flexibility to still, because I will say too, like I am a total planner. We're recording this in September and I have already definitely started thinking about 2020 planning and not just Q1, but like the whole year, forecasting out revenue, forecasting out programs, all of that stuff. But at the same time, I 100% agree with you. I want to maintain flexibility there that if something were to happen with my family or if I decided not to run a program, like we'd still have fluidity in the schedule and also the finances of it too, of like money coming in and cash flow.
Yeah, I take off like major holidays, birthdays, anniversaries that are important, those kinds of things. And then I take my daughter's calendar and I go through and I make sure that I'm off on all of her half days, all of her field trip days that they can already tell me about and all that stuff. So basically, before I even fit in my launches and projections, I know what days I have remaining to fit my business into. And then from there, I can figure out when I'm going to host events, what the launch cycle looks like for that. And it has to fit into those spaces. And then I can look at projections. And when I do my projections, I do the minimum. Like if I had just one program and if this one thing happened, which I know I do more than this one thing.
Right.
But if it all fell apart, there's this, the worst case scenario, if I repeat this year, and then if I have an increase this year. Okay. And then that kind of will flex into where I spend my time. And then I look at my week and I batch it out. So I actually now am helping my husband with his bookkeeping business because it's growing so fast. So I have certain days I work on that business, certain days I work on my coaching, and certain days I work on my other business.
So I would say that I know for somebody that has minimalist businesses, you also have many, but you keep them very streamlined and it's so impressive.
Like, I don't have a big team or anything like that.
No, it's pretty much you and you have an assistant, correct?
I have an assistant and a project manager for my ZiniMe, which is my business with my business partner. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I hire contractors on occasion to do things and that's about it. And with my husband, there is an assistant. And so it's pretty small. I like it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the whole reason why I left the government work, because I was managing 25 therapists and doctors and nurses. And I thought, I don't want to do this
this isn't what I want to do. No. So going back to your calendar real quick, how many days off did you plan for in 2019? Do you remember that number?
I wrote it down.
It wasn't like 185 or something?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. This year's a little bit – 2020 is a little bit more, yeah.
You'll have a little more days off?
Yeah, more days off, yeah.
So let's say it's like 200 days.
Yeah.
Out of 365 days.
Yeah.
Okay, friends, are you listening to this? Like, Kelly has 200 days off scheduled for 2020. And you know what? She sticks to this.
I do. I will say this, too. There's also work retreats in there. I do those once a quarter. And this year, I'm doing them for two businesses with my business partner and then just for by myself. And I've changed that up. I'm going to try one day every quarter. I'm looking at my calendar right now.
And you keep that in your work time though, right? Like that's not in your days off time.
Right. That's work time.
That's still work.
It's still work, but it's a different kind of work. I think that's true. The other thing I need a break from, you know, what I'm doing. I'm looking at all my calendar here, but yeah, I will say this. This is the other thing. So I have this course where I teach how I do all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And in that I do talk a lot about is knowing you're enough.
Let's talk about that some more. First of all, we need to tell them what the course is called. It's called Calibrate Your Year, and we'll link it in the show notes. But let's talk about your enough, because when you and I talked about this one-on-one and then within the group, it really shifted my perspective on things, and it's made me look at my business and my life in a whole different way. And so please share with our audience.
I think there's this – I could work more and make more. I totally could. But then I also have to think of what does that mean for my life.
Right.
And – I will tell you straight up, I'm a recovering workaholic. It is an addiction. I have to just be aware of that. I've worked in therapy and other ways of developing my meaning and strengthening my ego from beyond depending on my business to do that for me, right? I've had to do, in the beginning, I was my business, not anymore, but it's a constant kind of work. And so I think that yes, there's always more that can be done, but I'm at an enough point for right now where I'm at with my daughter, where my husband is at with his business growing and things like where I'm holding is enough and being okay with I'm not having to grow 100% every year, 50% every year. That does not define success. I think sometimes success can be defined by holding and being consistent, repeating revenue. Then you know, I think people that don't do that, that keep increasing and increasing, they get really anxious because they are fearful it was a fluke. They don't know how to repeat it.
Right.
And they don't have the processes in place. So sometimes it's holding. And right now I'm in that place of my life where I'm holding and I'm refining processes and figuring out what to eliminate. So it's so streamlined that when I'm ready to go, it's easy to do.
I see this so much. Well, I've seen it myself in the past. I see it in my group coaching program. I see it in our product-based businesses that are in Paper Camp. They're constantly striving for more. And I get it. In that startup stage, you want more stores that your products are carried in. You want that revenue to increase. You want to see the growth. But once you get into business for like, I don't know, at least 5 years, I agree with you. That's where your mindset needs to shift. And like, let me streamline the processes around this. Like, let me create systems so that I don't have to work as hard to still create the same like growth. And I think, so one of the things I talk about with my group coaching program is like, let's work backwards from what does your family need financially for you to like, what's that number your family needs to live a good life on, you know? Yeah. And I'm talking your mortgage and maybe summer camps or whatever. If you have
retirement,
you know, if you don't have kids, maybe you and your partner like to travel, whatever it is that you want to have a good life. Right. And let's deconstruct it, you know?
Yeah.
And what does that mean your business has to yield? What, on an annual basis or a monthly basis for you to live that good life? And I think most people I do this exercise with are surprised that they're already there.
Yes, I know. And then it's sort of like, if you're already here, can we simplify it to gain you more time? It's not about more money. It's about more quality of life and time. I have a friend who, you know, he sells products, is buying businesses, is constantly growing, and he's very young, this young millionaire. And he's like, I was sitting on a yacht in France
Oh, must be nice.
And they were talking about the next yacht they were going to get. And he was sitting on the yacht just enjoying it and thought, this is it. This is when you've arrived. And then he hears the yacht owner say, but this guy has a bigger boat and I need to get something bigger. And he thought, it never ends. Right. It will never end unless you say it ends. Right. So I think really deciding, and this happens in the beginning of business and a multi-million dollar business, when is it enough?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, you know, I'd rather have simple businesses that provide a good living than wreck myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And provide a good living as well as freedom and flexibility.
Oh, yeah.
Because totally. I think this also ties back into, like, why did you start this business to begin with? Was that you wanted the freedom and creative flexibility? Did you always know you wanted to be your own boss?
No.
You know, all these things.
I did not ever think I would be where I am right now,
by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I went to grad school. I was going to be a therapist, and that's what I was going to do. I mean, therapy is one of those things that you can do into your hundreds. Like, there are therapists that are like 100 that are just amazing. And I was working in the county, and I was reviewing charts, and I was managing a clinic. And I thought, this isn't why I went to school. And I started researching, should I go to medical school or nursing school? And then I thought, okay, I spent all these years. I really should just try to do something with this degree that I have. And that's what started my practice. Then I grew my practice very quickly. And then I went into business with my business partner and we started coaching people on it. And then from there, I think I've applied a lot of the psychology to the other coaching. And I've started working with gyms and attorneys and all sorts of different kinds of businesses.
Yeah.
And yeah, I never thought I would be here.
I do think that therapist background makes a very unique perspective for you as a business coach, because so much of our business, as we've talked about throughout this episode, is tied to our life, right? Like, there's just a lot that's intertwined there. So,
well, we talk a lot about FOOBs, family of origin BS. We'll just say that for this podcast. But really, sometimes your business is a mirror and you replicate your issues from your past and your relationships in how you relate to the business. So some of this, like, it's never enough stuff comes from like earlier kind of things. And until you are aware of the root of what drives you, you'll keep doing it in other places. So sometimes people are like, oh, I'm going to add a new product. I'm going to add a new service. And I'm like, have you really figured out how to clean up what you already have and maximize that before you really understand what you're doing in this business before you move on and repeat it? Because people, when they don't address who they are as a person, they'll repeat this in all their relationships, particularly in their business. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 I'm sitting here nodding my head for sure. Yes. Yep. 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 So Kelly, now that you've been in business as long as you have, how do you define success for yourself now? I'm sure it's changed over the years.
Yeah, it's defined by health for me and happiness. And I know that sounds a little cliche, but in terms of that, I feel present as a parent, which honestly is always a struggle. I never feel like a good enough parent.
But, you know, preach, girl, preach.
Yeah, you know, but then I'm showing up for people I love and that I have people I love in my life. That, I mean, you could take it all away. If I have people, then I'm good.
Yeah.
And so looking around and knowing that I have meaningful relationships, that's success. And then in terms of my business, it's the same. If long as I have meaningful relationships with my clients and make an impact, then I'm good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. What do you have coming up through the end of the year and into 2020? You want to tell everybody about your programs and things you're working on?
Yeah. So there's the course where I teach, you know, how to put in some of these systems and really kind of think through that integration of your life and your business and when to grow. But I have a mastermind waitlist coming up. You can go to the website and check it out. I know you'll put the link in at calibrateyouryear.com. You can click on masterminds and get on the waitlist for that. That's a small group where I am present for that. And we kind of rotate hot seats and really hold each other accountable for that business life integration while deciding whether to grow or to maintain in the business and how to do that in the best way without sacrificing your sanity.
And you guys, I can tell you firsthand, I have learned so much from Kelly in our peer mastermind group, and she really does help you focus on creating a business that supports your life and the goals you have on your personal side of things. So
thank you.
Definitely go. I mean it. You've really impacted me in great ways. So you guys would be very lucky to get in that mastermind with Kelly. So head on over. We will put that in the show notes too. Well, Kelly, where can people find you online? I know calibrateyouryear.com. What about social media?
Yeah, Instagram is where I mainly hang out. I do some Facebook lives and things, but my writing, my musings are over at Instagram at Kelly Higdon Coaching. I haven't changed it over to Calibrate Your Year because it's just too much of a pain.
Yeah. And, I get it.
Yeah. You can just search my name and find me. And it's where I really try to be vulnerable because I feel like that's where the power is, and honest about my process and what I'm learning so that people can learn from it too.
Awesome. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for your time today. Aww. We really appreciate it.
I love spending time with you.
And I with you. Thank you.
All right.
When it comes to scaling a product-based business, one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is that they spread themselves too thin. They're trying to sell retail in their online shop. Maybe they're doing retail craft shows. Maybe they're dabbling in wholesale. They're picking up some custom jobs on the side. And maybe they're even trying out licensing. But when you do all of those different things, or even just a combination of them, you're spreading yourself too thin, because each of those requires different sales strategies, different marketing strategies, and you're catering to a different audience, a different customer. So the first thing I want to tell you to do is stop spreading yourself too thin. Instead, build systematically. Do one and get that going really well before you add in another sales channel. And two, if you are considering whether or not wholesale is a right next step for your business, I invite you to join me for my free masterclass, Is Wholesale Right for You? It's available at prooftoproduct.com/wholesale. It's available anytime you want to watch it. It's on demand in about 30 minutes. And I'm going to run you through some concrete things you need to have ready, or you need to think about before you wholesale, so that you can walk away knowing whether wholesale is the right next step for your business. So again, that's prooftoproduct.com/wholesale. Look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.